you have your Bibles with me, go to Ruth chapter 3. We're going to pick up in our Ruth series. Last week in Deuteronomy, we heard the verse from Moses that says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." We're picking up in the story of Ruth where she is gleaning in the field, and she's going to have to take care of her and Naomi, her mother-in-law. And as she goes to take care of them, she goes to a field of a family member, and he's taking care of her. And we talked about that last week, about how to show care for those in our family, extended family, in our church family. How do we love people? How do we care for them? And we're going to pick up in the next part of Ruth's story in chapter 3. But before we dive into the text, I want us to see a picture of maybe what Ruth was going through in present day. So check this out.
Honey, I'm home.
We're in here.
Dinner is served.
Thanks, honey. Why don't you go ahead and get everything out while I set the table?
Okie dokie. So how was your day, dear?
Oh, my day was just fine. In fact, it's a great thing that I'm finding it so fulfilling cleaning up after you. Because you have quite a knack for leaving your dirty socks and underwear just strewn all over the floor.
Thank you. And you know, maybe with a little more practice, you'll be able to manage to do the laundry and cook up an occasional home-cooked meal. Of course, picking out takeout every night after a hard day at the office is just fine with me.
Now that it's here, we gotta get a move on because Bobby's got practice in half an hour.
Oh, you hear that, kids? Chop, chop!
Bobby knocked over the milk.
Did not.
You're too stupid.
I'm not stupid.
I'm too stupid.
Dad.
Okay, dear. We don't use that word because you know what? Not everybody can be as smart as our little Susie Sunshine.
That's right. Bobby doesn't need to be smart. He's our little athlete.
That's right. Now apologize to your brother, Susie.
Sorry.
Is everything okay now, Bobby?
Fine. Sure. Whatever.
You know, honey, I had a pretty good day at work, too. I got a little bonus for hitting my numbers this week, and I was thinking that perhaps we could go on a little romantic weekend getaway, you know, rekindle the old spark.
A bonus? That's terrific! Now I can finally get a new sofa!
Oh, okay, dear. I mean, I was thinking something a little more romantic, but if furniture is the way you want to go, well then...
Well, we could get a love seat. That would be more romantic. However, I don't know that it would be as comfortable for you, since you spend so much time sleeping on the sofa.
Of course, dear. That's fine. Well, you know, Bobby, we better hurry up and get done here. I mean, we've got to get going and get to practice. I mean, after last Saturday's game, we know you need all the practice you can get.
So, Dad, you gonna watch my game this weekend? Or are you gonna talk on the phone the whole time?
It'd be easier to watch if you were aiming at the right basket instead of scoring for the other team.
Oh, no, honey, that only happened one time.
Oh, it's okay. Old wrong way Bobby here can take a little ribbing, can't you, son?
Yeah, whatever.
Oh, dear. Okay, Susie, better hurry up. We gotta get going.
What's that smell?
I don't smell anything. Do you smell anything, Bobby?
Nope.
Honey?
Not me.
Alrighty then, let's go! Oh good, the cleaning lady's here. I love coming home to a nice clean house.
This could take a while, ma'am.
Oh no, you should be done in no time. The house is fine, just a little light dusting is all. But we have two practices and a PTA meeting, so we better get going. Bye-bye now!
Yeah, whatever you say, ma'am. Turbo
For the Fine family, they had gotten used to living with their elephant. In fact, they incorporated it into their family. They made it one of their own. And for Ruth, in chapter 3, this is the story of her elephant. This is the story of her adjusting to the elephant in the room and living with it. And as we look at this story, this passage in Scripture, I want us to understand that the elephant in the room, even if the Fine family was to speak to it, they really wouldn't have ever addressed it. They tend to speak to it and ignore it. And so they end up living and moving and breathing out of their stress. They live and move and breathe out of their anxiety, out of their frustration, out of their anger. They live and move and breathe out of their bitterness and their hurt and their pain. And I can't help but wonder if maybe that's what Ruth was doing in chapter 3. If she was living and moving and breathing out of the emptiness that's inside of her, the pain, the frustration that she has to glean as a servant in hot fields and take home little at the end of the day as far as pay or even as sustenance for her and Naomi. In Acts chapter, it's Acts chapter 17, verse 23 says that in him we live and move and have our being, talking about Jesus Christ. And I wonder if we, as we begin to look at this story of Ruth, if we could maybe begin to even let that frame the entire conversation that we're going to have today about Ruth. Because Ruth didn't have to live in the shadow of her elephant. She didn't have to live and move and have her being out of her elephant. She could have found her life, her breath, her very being out of something more substantial, something that will sustain her even longer. So this is the issue that's facing Ruth in chapter 3. If you have your Bibles, let's go to verse 1 of chapter 3. It says, "One day Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, 'My daughter, should I not try to find a home for you where you will be well provided for? Is it not Boaz whose servant girls you have been, with whose servant girls you have been, a kinsman of ours? Tonight he will be winnowing barley on the threshing floor.' So then she begins to tell Ruth some things to do. She says, 'Wash and perfume yourself, put on your best clothes. Then go down to the threshing floor and don't let him know that you're there until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, note the place where he's lying. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do.' Then Ruth says, 'I will do whatever you say.' So she went to the threshing floor and did everything her mother-in-law told her to do." I've got to thank God for people like Naomi. I mean, think about it. For Naomi, Naomi speaks to the elephant in the room for Ruth. For Ruth, the elephant in the room is this. She's a single lady who's taking care of a widowed mother-in-law. She herself, being a widow, has to go to a field and glean for the very food that they're going to eat. Their very existence, she's got to work for. She's got to gut it out. Because in that day, as we shared last week, there's no, really no provision for those who are widows and for those who don't have family. Their lot in life for the rest of their days, if they don't have someone to step in and rescue them, somebody to step in and do something for them, their lot is that they glean in a field after the people have gone through and have taken care of and harvested all the wheat. They walk behind all of these guys and hope and pray that somebody drops some heads of grain, and they bend down and they pick it up. It's the heat of the day. Now, ladies of that time didn't have shorts and t-shirts. It wasn't fitting for them. They had to cover themselves. So imagine covering yourself like something like this, and you cover yourself and you walk around in the heat of the day, and you're bending down constantly. Your arms are covered. Your legs are covered with long clothes. You're carrying a basket of some sort where you're putting the grain, and all the time the sweat's draining down into your face, and you're getting hot and you're getting hungry, and you're asking yourself, do I have to continue to do this day after day after day? Would somebody do something, please? I don't want to have to work at this, do this job every day, because there's nothing in it. I will get no rest. I will have to work every day of my life to make sure that I provide food for myself. I have to do this. Can you imagine what Ruth is going through? And Naomi speaks up and says, "Ruth, shouldn't I find a husband for you?" I almost hear the song, matchmaker, matchmaker, make me a match. No? No. Man, I'm getting shot down. But Ruth is living under the shadow of her elephant, and Naomi has to do something. So Naomi says, I'll do the only thing I know how to do in this culture, and I'm going to get you a husband. Because that's exactly what we need. And in fact, we talked a little bit about that last week. Boaz is the kinsman redeemer. Boaz is a person who is in a position to do something for Ruth. So Naomi, with a little bit of insight, a little bit of understanding of the culture, says, you know what? I'm going to speak to this issue. I'm going to step up. So she steps up into Ruth's life and says, go and do these things. She says, Ruth, go take a bath and change your clothes and put sweet-smelling perfume on. Because guys like it when girls smell good and look pretty and have clean clothes. So she goes and she does that. And then she says, Ruth, don't stop there. Don't just clean yourself and get yourself ready for action, but go down to the threshing floor and just don't let him know that you're there. Because, by the way, if you let people know that you're there, they're going to think you're a prostitute. So don't do it. Don't let people know that you're there. Hide back in the shadows, if you will, and just pay attention to what's going on. Don't just be patient and wait for the perfect moment. Wait for the moment when Boaz lays down and goes to sleep. When, in fact, watch where he lies down. And then go do what I'm getting ready to tell you to do. Don't just rush into the threshing floor and say, surprise, I'm here. Hey, Boaz, come marry me. She says, wait patiently and watch. That's the hardest part about living under an elephant. You have an elephant in the room, whatever it might be, stress or financial struggle or a job situation or a family pressures, and it's waiting and watching what's going to happen. So Ruth goes and she watches and she waits. And Naomi also says, now when he lies down, note the place where he's lying. Pay attention to the details, Ruth. Catch the details. Pay careful attention to what's happening around you. Because one, you don't want to go to the wrong person. Because sometimes the wrong people will take you to the wrong places. Sometimes the wrong people will steer you into a direction that will derail the trajectory of your life. Ruth, be careful. Don't go to the wrong person. Because sometimes you go to the people who you think can help you and they really can't. Ruth, pay attention to where Boaz is lying, because he's the only one who can do something about your situation. So pay attention and go to Boaz. And then she says to do something quite interesting. She says, then go and uncover his feet and lie down. Now, I like this illustration. She, excuse me, I can picture Ruth going and She comes up to Boaz and she uncovers his feet. I can't sleep personally if my feet are uncovered. In fact, I've got to wear socks even if it's 100 degrees outside. My feet have to be covered. I hate the feel of sheets and covers on my feet. It's like nails on a chalkboard. Anybody with me? Can I get an amen? Thank you. Thank you. Next, I expect to preach it. You know, I mean, come on. You guys got to talk back a little bit. Come on. So I can picture Ruth as she comes to the place where Boaz is lying down. And as she's lying down, or as he's lying down, she uncovers his feet. And did you know it's a scientific fact? If your feet are cold, you can't sleep, you'll wake up. It's proven. Duke University did a study on it. So she uncovers his feet. And what does she do? She waits. We have no record of Ruth calling out, Boaz, wake up. She doesn't do the little nudge. Hey, did you hear that noise? You got to get up and check that out. I mean, what's happening with Boaz, why he's sleeping at the place that he's working, is because if you didn't sleep there, thieves would break in. And they would steal all your grain. They'd take all your food, all your stuff, all the things that you've worked so hard for. So Boaz and his men are sleeping there. So she goes to him and she uncovers his feet and she waits. Can you imagine what's going through Ruth's head at the time? It's like a kid waiting for Christmas. You know, I can't imagine that she's just laying down there waiting. We don't know how long it took for Boaz to wake up. But all we know is she waited. She didn't tickle his feet. And she didn't say, "Hey, dude, come on, wake up. I got something important to tell you. I need you to wake up because you're the only guy who can do something about my situation in life." She just sits and waits, or lies down and waits. How about a picture of that for somebody who trusts in the Lord? We don't just kind of just jump up and down and say, "Hey, God, we need you to do something. Get over here, do it." We just lay down at his feet and rest in his presence. We rest in the knowledge that God will get up and do something. I'm getting ahead of myself, so I'm going to back up. So Ruth just sits and waits. And then Boaz all of a sudden stirs. And he goes, "Who are you?" As he realizes that there's somebody at his feet. And she says, "It's me, Ruth." And then all of a sudden you see this exchange take place. So he turns and discovers a woman lying at his feet in verse 8. And she says, "I am your servant Ruth. Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a kinsman redeemer." "The Lord bless you, my daughter," he replied. "This kindness is greater than that which you've shown earlier. You have not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all that you ask. All my fellow townsmen know that you are a woman of noble character. Although it is true that I am near of kin, there is a kinsman redeemer even nearer." I like this exchange that happens between Ruth and Boaz. Ruth looks at Boaz and says, as soon as he wakes up, she says, "Hey, spread your garment over me. I want to be known as your person. I want to be known as your wife." Man, if I would have known that that's all it took was a blanket, I wouldn't have had to buy an engagement ring. And Sarah's looking at me like, "Yeah, right." You know, but she says, "Cover me." Now, wait a second. Catch this. What has Ruth been known as? She's been known as a widow woman who's struggling to make it, and she's had a covering, a shadow of an elephant, if you will, as a poor woman who has to scratch to make a meager living and caring for her mother-in-law, and she has all of these concerns and stressors. And in that moment, she's taking off the shadow of the elephant. She's walking out from underneath it, and she's saying, "Extend your shadow over me. I don't want to be known as this any longer, but I want to be known as your wife. I want to be known by who you are." Ooh, that'll preach. I mean, think about it. She no longer wants to be known as somebody who's going to struggle and who has all these stresses and all these things. She's going to Boaz saying, "Stretch your blanket over me so that I may be known by whose covering I have now on me." You think about this for a second. In Exodus chapter 17, there's a verse that I absolutely love. It's Moses, and he's building an altar to God, and he builds the altar in front of the people, and he prays. And as he backs up, he names the place, which was an Old Testament habit and pattern. He names the place Jehovah Nissi. In Hebrew, it means, "The Lord is my banner. The Lord is my covering. The Lord is my shelter, my refuge in time of trouble." Remember, Ruth chapter 1 opens with Naomi blessing her daughters and says that, "May you know the God who is a shelter to all. May you know a God who is greater than all. May you know the God who is able to meet all of your needs. May you know that God." That's how Ruth 1 opens. And here she's acting on that blessing, saying, "I want to know. I want to be covered by you." And Exodus, according to Moses, saying, "The Lord is my banner." In this moment, we can declare, "God, I'm going to give you what I have traditionally covered myself with. The stress of life, the pain, the anger, the hurt, the bitterness, whatever it is. And I want you to stretch your banner, your covering over me. And I want to become the person that you would have me to be." We all need a Naomi in our lives. I love Naomi in this passage. You guys know, if you were here the first of the series, I was pretty harsh on Naomi. I was pretty hard on Naomi because she kind of does this interesting thing where she tries to send people back to their old gods. And I'm like, what are you doing? That's not the evangelist way. You've got to bring people to know Jesus. And that's how you're supposed to respond. But here Naomi does the best thing for her, and she speaks to the elephant in the room. She says, Ruth, you've got to get under out from underneath the shadow of your elephant. So what happens is Ruth and Boaz, they start talking, and Boaz looks at her and says, you know, there's somebody who's closer who has the ability to do what you need, but if he won't do it, I will. So he says, lay here and sleep, and then wake up in the morning. So she wakes up before everybody else in the morning, and Boaz says, bring me your shawl, bring me your covering. So she brings her covering to Boaz, and he fills it with grain and sends her back to her mother-in-law, Naomi. Now, there's something that's really cool about this, because what Boaz is doing is says, you know what? Let me take what you had all of your stuff contained in, and I'll fill it up, and then I'll send you back, and then I promise you I'll come back and take care of you. So he says, you know what? That shawl, let's put it to use. Let the void in your lives hold the fullness of who I am, and then I'll come back and resolve the whole issue later on in life. Just trust me. So she goes home to Naomi, and Naomi says, how did it go, daughter? How did it go? And Ruth tells her all the things that happened. And Naomi looks at her and says, don't worry. Just wait. Boaz will take care of it. He won't rest until it's taken care of today. He won't rest until it's settled. And can I be a Naomi for us today? Can I tell us that there's some things that we've got to do to get under out from underneath the shadow of our elephants, the stresses in life? And it's this. The first one is we've got to wash and perfume ourselves and put on our best clothes. How do we do that? We got to repent. We've got to ask God to forgive us because we've lived under the shadow of something else other than God. And that's, can I tell you, that's easy to do. But we need to, in that moment, confess and say, God, I've allowed the elephant in the room to lead and direct my life, and I've got to have you doing it. So God, I don't want to have the elephant like the Fine family. I don't want to have this elephant that's going to be causing all these issues and problems, and I'm going to get to the heart of the issue, God. I'm going to get to it no matter how hard it is, God. I'm going to get to the core of it, but God, forgive me for settling for something second best. And then the second thing you got to do is this. We got to go to the threshing floor. We've got to go to the places that God is at work in our lives. And we've got to take notice, and we've got to wait on Him. We've got to wait on God. We've got to be patient and wait. Because see, sometimes as God is working in our lives and God is doing something and teaching us, sometimes we've just got to be patient and wait. And we've got to just sit and be still. Can I tell you, that's the hardest thing to do. It's so hard to sit and wait on God to do and move and work. But can I tell you how exciting it is? Because when you sit and you stop trying to figure it out and you stop trying to work it all out and you're sitting here waiting, guess what you're doing? You're watching. So you're seeing God at work. You're able to take notice of the areas in your life that God is working and fitting things together. Naomi or Ruth was able to watch Boaz thresh on the threshing floor. And she was watching as he separated the wheat from the chaff, as he took the tool that looks a lot like a rake, and he began to beat on the wheat and began to crack the husks, the nasty stuff away, the crusty dirt. And he was, as he began to thresh, the process of threshing is something quite interesting. You would take that rake and you would dig it into the wheat and you'd throw it up in the air. And as you would throw it up in the air, the wind would blow and would separate the wheat from the chaff, the good from the bad. And the good would fall down and be at your feet, and the bad would blow away. Sometimes we've got to wait and be patient as God separates the good from the bad in our lives. He breaks the crust on our hearts, or He breaks the mindsets, the mentalities, the things that we struggle with. He sets us free from the bondages that have held us in sin and in chains. And those blow away, and the great things fall to the ground. The good things of God fall to the ground, and we take notice. Wait a second. God's been at work in my life all along. I can take hope in that. I can have hope that God is at work and God is doing. And can I tell you, if we struggle with self-confidence issues, when God begins to break things apart in our life, good things fall and we can step back and be like, oh God, you can use somebody like me. Or there's a loving heart inside of me that maybe I didn't see. Or maybe there's a depth for knowledge, or I can teach a Sunday school class or a small group. Or God, maybe I can share with my neighbors the goodness of who you are and the truth of who you are, because we've taken the time to wait on the Lord. We've taken time to take notice of how he's working in our lives. And as we take notice, then something else begins to happen. We get to take notice of where God is present and where God goes. See, she watches not only Boaz work and sees the fruit of his labor and the signs of him working, but Ruth sees where Boaz goes. How many times do we need to just pause and see where God is moving and where God is working and join him there? Because it's in those moments that we find fulfillment and we just sit at his feet. Can I tell you, there's moments where you need to just read scripture or pray or get alone with God, go out in the woods, go in a boat or get in the tree stand or grab a guitar if you're musically inclined, or whatever it is that you need to do to get alone with God. You need to go do it and just sit and be. Scripture says, be still and know that I am God. So you, in the stillness and in the moment, you just begin to pray. Or just begin to sit and wait for God to show up. And in essence, you're acting like Ruth in faith. You're kind of just waiting for God to show up, or you're exposing his feet and you're saying, you're sitting here waiting, God, I'm waiting for you to move. I'm waiting for you to act. I need you to do something. And then when he begins to stir, whoo, can I tell you, there's a moment in Scripture where when God begins to stir, everybody takes notice. It happens in Acts chapter 2. It happens in Genesis chapter 1. The entire world takes notice when God begins to stir. So when God begins to stir in your heart, when God begins to stir in your life and says, what is it? What's going on? Where are you at? What do you need? Who are you? You just step up and say, God, I'm tired of covering myself with the shadow of my elephant. God, I'm tired of being known as the person who's a worrywart. Or God, I'm tired of being a person who's known for their anger or their cutting remarks. Or God, I'm tired of being a person who's bitter. I'm tired of having all of these things. I'm tired of the shadow that has been hanging over my head. God, would you cover me? God, would you cover me? Would you be as you were to Moses? Would you be my Jehovah Nissi, the God who is my banner, my covering? And then trust that God will settle the matter. Even speak to it. I love what Ruth does. Ruth comes home and has to tell a story. She's got to tell Naomi and fill her in on all the details. As you settle that in your heart, that moment with God, that elephant in the room, if you will, begin to testify, begin to tell the story of how God is going to come through. Begin, if God gives you a word from Scripture, a promise, share the promise. Can I tell you, there was a moment in my life where I was trying to go to Indiana Wesleyan University, and I didn't know if I was going to be able to make it because I had a 1.8 GPA. Tried to go to school to be a cop, and that didn't work. I tried to go do this, and that couldn't work. I had people look at me and say, well, you're just an idiot. You don't study, you can't learn. My ADD was off the charts. I was like, God, it's not going to happen. Well, I applied because a friend of mine said, you just need to apply to Indiana Wesleyan. So I applied to IWU, and I don't hear anything back. And one of my friends is going to do a college visit, and he goes, hey, Tom, do you want to go? And I'm like, sure, I'll go. Well, I walk into the admissions office as he's talking, and up on the wall behind him, and then on the desk that the secretary was behind, was this verse. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. And I went, wow, God, that's the 15th time I've heard that verse this week. And it didn't sink in until I'd stepped in the admissions room and saw it. And all of a sudden I called Sarah and told her that, hey, you know what? This is what God told me. I told my parents. I told my friends. And then all of a sudden, I got a nice little letter that said, congratulations, Tom Cochran, you've been accepted to Indiana Wesleyan University. But because of your GPA, we're going to only allow you to take two classes this first semester. and prove yourself. So I was nervous as all get out. I walked into my class, my first class at 7:50 a.m. on a Monday morning, and Dr. Wilbur Williams was standing in the front of the class. And if you don't know Wilbur, Wilbur's a guy that you need to get to meet. He's like, I think the best way to describe him is Moses. I mean, he probably walked with Moses. I mean, he walks into class and he tells this story. He opens up class and he says, you know, he goes, when I was in high school, he goes, I didn't apply myself very hard. I didn't focus. I didn't do this and I didn't do that. And I was flunking. And I had a teacher come up to me and she looked at me and said, you know, Wilbur, you have the ability to do all of these things. You can get straight A's. You can do this. All you got to do is apply yourself. I know you can do better. Prove me right. Wilbur looks at the class. He points his finger straight ahead and says, I know you can do better. Prove me right. Guess who was on the end of the finger? I was sitting fifth row, middle of the aisle, and he points right at me and says, I know you can do better. Prove me right. Look straight into my eyes. I'm sitting my first day in class, and I just went and just started bawling. People look at me like I'm nuts. The next 3 weeks, I didn't have anybody sitting around me. And he shares at the end of that, he goes, I don't know why I shared that story, but I just feel like I needed to share with somebody today that you can do better, prove me right. He was a Naomi for me. He spoke to the elephant in the room. And in that moment, God just did an amazing work. So let me be a Naomi in this moment. We have bought into a bill of goods that we have to live under our elephants. We don't have to. We can live under His covering. See, we don't have to live and move and breathe out of our stress. We don't have to live and move and breathe out of our pain, our anger, our anxiety, our fears, our frustrations. We don't have to. According to Acts, we live and move and have our being in Christ. So whose covering are you under? The team's going to come and they're going to lead us in a time of worship. And I'm going to give you the opportunity to do what Naomi gave Ruth an opportunity to do. For some of us, we need to come forward and we need to confess and say, God, I've lived under the shadow of an elephant for way too long in my life. I'm going to repent. I need you to clean me up, to change my clothes. That's what I love about scriptures. There's this analogy that we get new clothes at the end of Revelation. We get a new robe of righteousness. We're clean because of what Christ has done. And that transformative act can happen today in our lives. Some of us, we need to sit and be silent and go to the threshing floor of our lives where God is at work and say, God, what are you doing? Show me. Because I've lost sight of it, God. And some of us need to go and say, God, I just need you to cover me. I need you to cover me. Trade my covering of my elephant shadow and you cover me. Be my banner today. So, Father, as we worship and as we come to into your presence, God, we acknowledge that you're already here and that you're already doing a work. But, Father, you need to go beyond what words can say and do. And you, by your Holy Spirit, need to move in our hearts. So, God, would you come and would you speak in the moment and tell us, God, exactly what we need to do? What step do we need to take in getting out from underneath the shadow of our elephant, the stress, the anxiety, the fear, the frustration, the pain? God, whatever it is, God, what do we need to do? And, God, would you let us leave today knowing that you will have the matter settled, that you will do it. In the name of Christ, we pray.